Today in review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishopriggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This week's edition of the Kirkintilloch and Bishopriggs Herald podcast, as published on Wednesday the 29th of November 2023, is read to you by volunteers Alan, Ian and Rebecca. Important to have your say. People power is needed to help guide early work on Eastern Bartonshire's next local development plan, LDP3. An online survey has been created and drop-in sessions are being held in local communities between now and January 2024. An LDP sets out a long-term vision for where development should and should not happen. The first key step is the creation of an evidence-based report, and that's where Eastern Bartonshire Council needs the views of residents, businesses, groups and organisations. The report will focus on the broad concept that will shape the plan and not, at this stage, the merits of individual sites. Council Leader Gordon Lowe told us, "We are in the early stages of preparing the new LDP3. Creating an evidence report focused on the broad concepts that will shape the plan is the first key step. LDPs typically look 20 years ahead and are vital to help address climate change, deliver high quality places to live, attract new jobs and investment, regenerate town centres and more. You can have a say via our online survey, at the information sessions or by contacting us directly by email and post. The LDP2 will remain in place until a new LDP3 is fully approved, expected by early 2028. A series of public drop-in sessions are being held, where officers will be available to discuss any issues relating to the consultation or overall LDP3. Key issues include biodiversity, natural places and trees, brownfield and vacant/derelict land, climate change, mitigation and adaptation, good design and places, flood risk and water management, housing, including affordable housing, infrastructure and local neighbourhoods, retail and sustainable transport. Drop-in events are being held at Bishopriggs War Memorial tomorrow, Thursday, November the 30th, Kirkintilloch Town Hall on December the 5th, New Kilpatrick Parish Church in Bearsdown on December the 6th, Milton of Campsie Village Hall on December the 12th, 3 to 7 p.m, and Caldwell Halls in Torrance on December the 19th. These events will continue into the new year also, with the Campsie Memorial Hall in Lennoxtown first to host on January 9th, followed by Twicker Healthy Living and Enterprise Centre on January the 11th, and, finally, Mulgay Library on January the 15th. Visit www.easternbarton.gov.uk/LDP3 for information and to fill in the online survey to have your say. And that article was read to you today by me, Ian. This week in history. November the 30th, 1968, the Trade Description Act came into force. On this day last year, Christine McVie, a vocalist and songwriter of Fleetwood Mac, died aged 79. December the 1st, 1887, the 28 Beatons Christmas Annual went on sale. It featured a study in Scarlet by A. Conan Doyle, which introduced the detective Sherlock Holmes. On this day last year, Rishi Sunak suffered his first electoral defeat as Prime Minister as Labour won the city of Chester by election. December the 2nd, 1990. West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl won the first all-German election since 1933. On this day last year, the Prince and Princess of Wales were in Boston for the second Earthshot Prize, where £1 million was awarded to innovative, eco-minded projects. December the 3rd, 1984. More than 3,000 people died in a chemical factory spillage at Bhopal, Central India. On this day last year, Peter Kay was brought to tears on the opening night of his first live comedy tour in 12 years. December the 4th, 1947. Tennessee Williams' play, A Streetcar Named Desire, was premiered on Broadway with Marlon Brando and Jessica Tandy in the leading roles. On this day last year, England won 3-0 against Senegal at the World Cup in Qatar, progressing to the quarterfinals. Christie's Big Step Forward. A rising star of the stage is to take on the role of lead choreographer for a major production. Christie Bullock Walker started the charity Movies to Musicals, M2M, in 2018 as a cast member. At the age of just 12, she was identified as a raw talent who definitely caught the eye. Now, almost 6 years on, the 18-year-old will choreograph the charity's musical theatre celebration performance at the SEC in February. Christie, from Bishop Briggs, told the Herald, "I'm so excited to be the choreographer for the M2M 10-year anniversary. My journey with M2M started in 2018, and it's an honour to be involved with such an amazing charity that offers so many opportunities for young people, including myself. It's a full circle moment for me, and I cannot wait to get started on this incredible show." A student at the Hamilton Theatre Arts in the West End, Christie will put 70 children and young people through their paces as they aim to learn her dances and steps. And it'll be a special moment for all the children involved as they share the stage of the SEC Armadillo with West End and Broadway stars such as Keri Ellis and Sabrina Carter of Wicked fame and Les Miserables legend John Owen Jones. Run by charity Glasgow's Philharmonia, M2M showcases some of the stage and screen's most beloved soundtracks. Over the last 10 years, they have garnered immense popularity, including a host of sold-out shows and featuring on ITV's Britain's Got Talent. M2M producer Ross Gunning said, "Many of the young people who come to us struggle with confidence, and we're really proud of the fact we provide a safe and open space for everyone to just be themselves. And seeing the growth in some of these kids, watching them become triple threat dancers, singers and actors, is what keeps me doing this. It's hard, especially trying to find funding, but I absolutely love it. It's crazy we're celebrating 10 years. It has gone by so quickly. I'm really proud of what we have achieved. We are putting Scotland at the forefront of musical theatre." M2M is on at the SEC Armadillo on February the 17th, with tickets available via sec.co.uk. Talent is on show. Movies and Musicals has always been able to attract big stars, and their 2024 performance is no different. Working alongside Ross Gunning, Movies to Musicals patrons include former EastEnders actor John Partridge, Britain's Got Talent winner Jai McDowell, West End leading lady Keri Ellis and West End director Sam Hiller. The charity have also recently announced that Still Games Lynn McCallum has joined the board. On top of that, there are two more local youngsters taking part next year as they try to hone their skills and forage a future in the industry. That includes Ailey Reid and Leila Houston. Its 10th anniversary show at the Armadillo on February the 17th will also include a 22-piece orchestra and a 100-strong choir. Tickets are available via sec.co.uk. Star delighted to be back at M2M. In this anniversary spectacular, theatre lovers will be treated to hits from a host of musicals. That includes stage favourites such as Bugsy Malone, Mary Poppins, Miss Saigon, Six, and of course Les Miserables. And John Owen Jones, best known for his roles as Jean Valjean in Les Miserables, is expected to wow the crowd with his rendition of Bring Him Home. Having previously played The Phantom in Andrew Lloyd Webber's The Phantom of the Opera, John last performed with M2M in 2019 at Glasgow's Royal Concert Hall. Ahead of his February performance, John told us, "I am delighted to be returning to Glasgow once again, as the audience there have always been so fantastic, and it'll be great to be part of such a special show too." Performing alongside John will be some of Scotland's most promising young talent, with 70 youngsters from across Scotland taking to the stage. Over the past 10 years, Glasgow Philharmonia have given thousands of local children access to free and low-cost classes, culminating in shows such as M2M at some of the country's best venues. Of her newest role with M2M, Christy added, "I'm so grateful to Ross Gunning for always believing in me and supporting me my whole time at movies. Roll on 2024. Movies to Musicals is on at the SEC Armadillo on February the 17th, with tickets available via sec.co.uk.
Council to roll out Talking Mats pilot in schools. Children in Eastern Bartonshire are to benefit from communications aids as part of a new pilot. Aimed at youngsters who struggle with communication, those involved in the pilot have already benefited from the rollout of tools designed to assist. Eastern Bartonshire has been working on giving children with barriers to verbal communication assistive tools such as talking mats. A picture-based system which can be either card-based or electronic, with S6 pupils also involved in providing support. Research has shown that talking mats are effective with individuals of varying ages and additional needs, such as learning disabilities. The 3-year Talking Mats pilot scheme is currently in operation in Eastern Bartonshire, with 12 schools involved in the first year. S6 pupils have been involved in supporting these pupils since 2017 and have used their knowledge and training in various methods, including talking mats, to help train staff from other schools and early learning centres. One such project saw the pupil working group partnering with additional support needs pupils at Woodland View School in Kirkintilloch to complete talking mats, expressing how they felt about their transition to the new school. A report on this ongoing work was welcomed by the Council's Education Committee at a recent meeting. Woodland View opened its doors for the new school in August, welcoming children who previously attended Campsie View and Merlin schools.
NHS clinical services are giving boost. More than £2 million of extra funding is to be made available to support alternatives to hospital admission this winter. The funding will allow development of clinical services across NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde, including the successful OPAT service based at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. OPAT, the Outpatient Parental Antimicrobial Therapy Service, delivers acute-level hospital care in a non-inpatient setting to clients with complex infections. The 7-day-a-week nurse-led service treats patients with infections who require intravenous antibiotics either on a short or long-term basis, but who are otherwise suitable for outpatient treatment. OPAT service activity has increased significantly in 2023, with more than 1,400 patients assessed to date, with admission prevented or early discharge facilitated for more than 1,000 patients. It is estimated that by the end of 2023, up to 20,000 inpatients will have been avoided as a consequence of the service in the previous year. The extra funding from the Scottish Government will be used to extend the existing service to patients within the catchment area of Glasgow Royal Infirmary, in addition to a paediatric OPAT service. The new paediatric OPATA service, based in the Royal Hospital for Children, supports early discharge for children with acute infections requiring IV antibiotic therapy. Professor Andrew Seaton, consultant in infectious disease and lead for the OPAT service across NHS GGC, said, "Our aim for patients is to provide a safe alternative to hospital admissions across all GGC sites whenever possible, and otherwise identify those who may benefit from a supported discharge as early in their hospital admission as possible. We have been working closely with GPs and acute care physicians to achieve this. We're looking forward to further expanding the OPAT service to enable anyone with an amenable infection from across GGC to avoid hospital admission or have as short a stay as possible." Read by Alan Todd.
Cinematic classics. Turkey Picture Palace is gearing up for a strong and patriotic start to the year as it gets set to showcase the best of Caledonia in its first ever film festival. Kirkintilloch Town Hall will scheme some of the best Scottish cinematic moments thanks to your Kirkie. A collection of Caledonian classics, including the programme of screenings, includes The Water Horse, Legend of the Deep, Wild Rose, and Scottish Muscle on January 27th. That will be followed by Sunshine on Leith and Eddie the following day. Cinema coordinator Serena Marshall told us, "We're delighted to be holding our first film festival, focusing on a collection of movies with a strong Caledonian connection. The Kirkie Picture Palace is run by the community, for the community, powered by our wonderful volunteers. Please come along and support your cinema. We honestly couldn't do it without you. We're particularly pleased to be able to hold dementia-friendly and baby-friendly events. A recent screening of Billy Elliot was our busiest yet. It was amazing just to see how much people enjoyed it." The strong start to the year will follow a strong finish to 2023, with the Picture Palace screening the latest blockbusters and festive favourites for the rest of November and December. That is supported by special dementia-friendly and baby-friendly events too. Tickets cost £5, adults, £3, children, with under 2s allowed in for free. Purchase in the door or email kirkiefilmhub@gmail.com. That's kirkiefilmhub@gmail.com for group bookings.
Grants empower local groups. Bowlers, brownies, tennis players, pipers, and people young and old, a range of local groups have secured funding from the council's community grant scheme, and your organisation could be next. Applications for the latest round of funding are being accepted until 22nd December 2023. The scheme, which aims to financially support local community and voluntary organisations with their activities, has increased budget for 2023-2024. This funding, a combination of money from the councils and the UK government Share Prosperity Fund, means grants ranging up to £10,000 are available to help groups bring projects to life and make a real difference in their communities. Local organisations can apply for a grant of up to £5,000 or £10,000. The council welcomes applications from groups which have a constitution, that have a bank account, are not-for-profit, aim to bring benefits to the residents of East Dunbartonshire. Previous recipients include Brownies, Boys Brigade and Scouts, football teams for girls and boys, tennis and bowling clubs, and organisations for children and older people. Councillor Gordon Lowe, leader of East Dunbartonshire Council, said, "The grant schemes help to empower local organisations at the heart of our communities, supporting them to make and keep making a positive difference in our villages and towns. Over the years, we've helped hundreds of groups doing valuable work to increase social inclusion, protect the environment, encourage healthy lifestyles, and more. I would invite all eligible local organisations to apply for funding. We want to help as much as we can. As part of the 2023-24 budget, the Council doubled funding for the scheme from £100,000 to £200,000. It also allocated £100,000 from the UK Government's Shared Prosperity Fund. This is the second round of funding for 2023-24. The first took place between 26th June and 28th July, attracting 58 applications with a total of £172,480 issued to local organisations. Applying for a grant is simple. The online form detailed guidance and eligibility criteria can be found at the Eastern Bartonshire Government website. A range of eligible activities can be funded, including start-up costs, special projects, equipment, salaries, and running costs. If any individual or groups need assistance, the Council's Community Planning Team can help by emailing communityplanning@eastonbarton.gov.uk or calling 0300 123 4510. Applications are assessed by the Grants Advisory Committee, which makes recommendations for awards to the Community Planning Partnership CPP Board. Advice from politicians. The area's three parliamentarians teamed up to offer help to local residents on tackling the soaring cost of living. Strathkelvin and Bearsden MSP Rona Mackay, East Dunbartonshire MP Amy Callaghan, and Cumbernauld and Kilsyth and Kirkintilloch East MP Stuart MacDonald invited locals to a cost of living advice event in Kirkintilloch Town Hall. A number of organisations, including Citizens Advice and East Dunbartonshire Voluntary Action, were also on hand to help, alongside Social Security Scotland, who gave residents advice on the benefits available to them in Scotland. Rona told us, "We have so many fantastic third sector organisations and numerous other agencies who can support people. Along with them, we want to provide as much help as possible to vulnerable constituents who are suffering during this cost of living crisis. Many of my constituents cannot afford to heat their homes, and many are now struggling to afford even the most basic foods." Amy added, "Most people are still seeing their cost of living increase compared with a month ago. That's why I call on the Chancellor to introduce a £400 energy bill rebate, scrap sky-high standing charges, and protect homeowners with mortgage rates relief. The Tory government created this cost of living crisis. The least they can do is mitigate unaffordable bills and introduce a major package of support to boost household incomes. It is also why I joined with Rona and to organise a local cost of living support event. Help is out there, and it was so important to get that help in front of the people who need it most. I will continue to call on the UK government to step up and support households across the UK. I will also keep working hard to support people in East Dunbartonshire. If you need help and advice, please get in touch." The local MSP and MPs added that they wanted to reassure constituents that they remained on hand in the local constituency to offer them assistance with any issues they faced.
Quarriers Festive Appeal. A special gift this Christmas. Report by Julie Curry. Christmas is billed as the happiest time of the year, but for young people who are homeless, the reality can be very different, with no family occasions to enjoy and no gifts to open. The cost of living crisis has hit those young people hard. Most 16 to 25 year olds still have a lot of help from family, but the young people Quarrier supports are trying to make it on their own. With more than 100 services across Scotland, the charity understands how challenging life can be and has launched its annual Christmas appeal to support young people who are homeless this winter with a gift. Christmas gifts aren't considered a funding priority, so the charity can only give a gift with the public's help. A Christmas gift seems like a small thing, but what you're giving is the ability to take pride in themselves, to beat the stigma of homelessness, to have hope for an education, a career, and the power to find their own path to a meaningful life. Quarriers is appealing for donations, from as little as £5, to help homeless young people across Scotland this Christmas. Fiona Nicholson, Corrier's Head of Service for Children, Families and Young People, said, "The cost of living crisis has created huge challenges for everyone in different ways. The most vulnerable people in society are being squeezed the most, causing them to make difficult choices. Choosing between being fed or warm is just one of the damaging effects for the homeless young people. As young people at risk of homelessness struggle to decide whether to eat or keep warm, they are finding it increasingly more difficult to make ends meet. A Christmas treat or a small luxury will be far out with their reach. With your help, Quarriers will continue to work hard to help everyone feel less alone on Christmas Day. We are counting on the generosity of others to provide one small gift, to let these young people know that someone is thinking of them, and to help them mark Christmas Day against the rest of the year. Imagine a face lighting up on Christmas morning thanks to you. For £5 you can gift a selection box and socks. For £10 you can give a toiletries pack, toothpaste, shampoo, soap, etc. For £15 you can give a cosy bundle, hat, scarf, gloves. For £20 you can give a well-being bundle, socks, eye mask, toiletries. For £30 you can give a Christmas parcel, PJs, a selection box, underwear. And for £50 you can give a home sweet home bundle, a kettle, toaster, tea towels, mugs, etc. In Scotland, almost a quarter of all homeless applications are made by those aged 16 to 24. Quarriers offers young people a safe roof over their head and provides as much support as possible. For many of the supported youngsters, the Christmas gift from Quarriers may be the only one they receive. Donations can be made at www.quarriers.org.uk/gift. That's www.quarriers.org.uk/gift or call 01505 690 875. Offering support. A common misconception is that a homeless young person is referring to someone who is sleeping rough. In reality, it means that the young person presents as homeless, either as care leavers or someone who is at risk of being homeless. In this case, organisations such as Quarriers are there to offer supported accommodation or help that young person to live independently in their own tenancy. This past year, four per more homeless applications were made by young people aged 16 to 25 than the previous year. To find out more about Quarriers and the work it does across Scotland, visit www.quarriers.org.uk.
Scots face incredibly tough winter ahead. Scottish households facing an increase in energy bills have been urged to seek support after Ofgem raised the price cap. The energy regulator announced last Thursday that average bills will rise by £94 from January 1st, meaning a typical household will pay £1,928 per year. It comes just over a week after Ofgem launched a review into standing charges for gas and electricity, which have risen by up to 60% in 2 years, with further increases expected in April. Scotland's National Advice Service, Advice Direct Scotland, runs the energyadvice.scot service with free, impartial and practical advice on energy bills for anyone in Scotland. Energyadvice.scot is available at the Energy Advice website and on free phone 0808 196 8660, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The charity warned of an incredibly tough winter ahead, with many Scots already struggling with household bills amid the cost of living crisis. Advice Direct Scotland also stressed the importance of people ensuring that they are claiming all benefits they are entitled to. Its free online calculator, available at advice.scot, is tailored for Scotland and allows people to check their entitlement to both reserved and devolved benefits. Hazel Knowles, Energy Lead for Advice Direct Scotland, said, Energy price rises at the coldest time of the year will alarm many people grappling with household bills. Costs are already hundreds of pounds higher than pre-pandemic levels, pushing people into debt and having to make difficult decisions about spending on even essential items. Given the challenging situation for many, it's shaping up to be an incredibly tough winter. We urge people across Scotland not to struggle alone. Our expert advisers can provide free advice on the support available and ensure that households are claiming all the benefits they are entitled to. With an upcoming hike in electricity standing charges from April, Ofgem's review could benefit some of the most vulnerable consumers. Energy affordability also needs a long-term solution, and we support calls for a social tariff to protect people from spending excessive amounts on their bills.
£120 million of support. A new report from the Scottish Federation of Housing Associations has outlined the scale of fuel support housing associations have provided to tenants in the past year. Funded by the Scottish Government, the Social Housing Fuel Support Fund has enabled housing associations and cooperatives to make over 68,000 direct interventions for tenants struggling to afford their energy costs. Distributed through SFHA, the £6.4 million fund meant that tenants could be supported with cash, household items, energy advice, and help to write off energy debt. An independent analysis of the impact of this has now revealed that this work provided nearly £120 million of social value. In total, 92 projects have been supported by the fund, representing almost 90% of all Scottish housing associations and cooperatives. Read by Rebecca.
Get your needles out to help keep animals warm. The Scottish SPCA is appealing for people to get out their crochet or knitting needles to make blankets for the animals in their care this Christmas. The charity wants all the unwanted and abandoned pets to be cosy and content this winter. A warm blanket to curl up in and something to play with can make a big difference to a pet who's knowing nothing but cruelty and fear. Head of Fostering, Rehoming and Community Engagement, Jenny McDonald, said, "We are in need of blankets to keep animals in our care warm and cosy while they wait for their forever homes. We would love if people who have a passion for knitting or crocheting could spare some time and wool to make some for our animals. The only criteria we have for them is to be tightly woven without large holes. We can also accept new blankets from retailers or used blankets as long as they are in good condition with no tears or holes and have been freshly laundered. Unfortunately, we can't accept pillows or duvets as they are too easily destroyed and the stuffing can be harmful to animals if they ingest it. Your support means that we can continue to provide the best care for our animals at our centre this winter. We'd be so grateful for any donations that people can spare, and we know our animals will be too. Donations of blankets can be dropped at any of the centres. To find your nearest centre, go to www.scottishspca.org/our-centres. That's www.scottishspca.org/our-centres. Or you can give what you can this Christmas and join the rescue effort. Denote today and become a vital member of our rescue team. www.scottishspca.org/join-the-rescue. That's www.scottishspca.org/join-the-rescue. If anyone is concerned about an animal, please do not hesitate to contact the Society's confidential animal helpline on 03-333-999-999. That's 03-000-999-999. The SSPCA is the only animal charity in the UK able to report animal cruelty cases to the Crown, with reports sent to the Crown Office Procurator Fiscal Service. The charity received no government funding and relies on the generosity of the Scottish public to help fund its work. The SSPCA prides itself on not putting healthy animals to sleep. Family announcements. Deaths. Arnott Dorothy, peacefully, at the Cumberland Infirmary, Carlisle, on Sunday, November the 19th, 2023, Dorothy, dot, Elizabeth, formerly of Loch Road, Kirkintilloch, beloved wife of the late David, a much-loved mum of Stephen, Andrew, Jill and Joanne, and a sadly missed Nan, great Nan, and mother-in-law, aged 84 years. Service and cremation at Eden Valley Crematorium, Penrith, Cumbria, on Thursday, November the 30th at 12:30 p.m. Family flowers only, but, if desired, donations in memory of Dot for Eden Animal Rescue may be made at the service or sent CO Richardson Funeral Directors, Victoria Road, Penrith, CA11 8HR. In memoriam, Fury John. In loving memory of our dear father John, who died November the 30th, 1948. Always remembered, Thomas, Isabel and family. Keeping memories of loved ones alive. After someone we love has passed away, most of us try to find a way of keeping their memory alive. This can vary from planting a tree to naming a star. Here are a few of the options that you may want to consider. In the stars. For some, naming a star after the loved one they have lost seems a fitting memorial. There are many star naming websites for you to choose from on the internet. Simply do an internet search for Naming a Star UK. Most of these specialist websites give you the choice of naming a single star or a star in a constellation. Once you have named your star, you will usually receive a certificate, star chart and coordinates to help you find it in the night sky. Bereavement box. Creating a memorial keepsake box is a comforting option for many. This box can be filled with special memories you shared with your loved one, perhaps a photograph or two, a favourite piece of jewellery, cards and letters. Memorial boxes are widely available to buy. Amazon, for example, sell a large selection, ranging from ornately decorated boxes to simple wooden chests. Many specialist websites offering memory boxes also give the option to personalise the box with a name or special verse, if you'd like. However, the box itself doesn't have to be shop-bought or expensive. It simply needs to be somewhere for you to keep all the special keepsakes you treasure together in one place. Open the box whenever you wish and pass it down to your children so that the memories can live on. Rings and things. An item of jewellery can make a fitting keepsake, as most pieces can be worn at all times, and many people say this helps them feel closer to the one they have lost. Maybe you'll choose a piece of jewellery from their own collection that has special memories for you, such as their wedding band, favourite brooch or watch. Perhaps you'd like to buy a new item, such as a pendant in the shape of their initials, or a personalised piece engraved with their name. If you're looking for a gift for someone else who is grieving, there are a number of websites that sell bereavement jewellery. InspiredGoodbyes.co.uk, for example, offer a Love Lives On pin, Love Lives On necklace, and Love Lives On charm. In addition, they also offer a memory book for families and friends to share their stories and memories about a loved one, plus a selection of bereavement cards. Saying thank you. If your loved one was helped or supported by a charity or hospice before they passed away, making a financial donation can help you feel like you're saying thank you and giving something back. This could be a one-off donation, or many offer the option to donate a small monthly amount straight from your bank account. These donations are usually used to fund valuable research or to help improve services for others who are going through similar experiences to your loved one. quiet reflection. Many people who are going through bereavement say they want somewhere they can sit and reflect about the one they've lost and relive some of the memories they made together without being disturbed. Buying a bench for your garden can be a comforting solution. Memorial benches come in a variety of price ranges, sizes and materials, including wood, metal and stone. Childline is a lifeline for children at Christmas. In the last year, Childline has delivered 554 counselling sessions to children and young people across Scotland about sexual, physical, domestic, emotional abuse and neglect. The service, which is run by the NSPCC, also revealed that of those counselling sessions, 35%, 192, of young people said Childline was the first place where they had spoken about their abuse. Due to the confidential nature of the service, Childline only records the nation or region a child or young person is contacting them from, if they volunteer that information. Last year, in more than a third of all sessions, 4,906, the child did not disclose that information. The NSPCC released the figures as it launched its Christmas appeal. Although the festive season comes with huge expectations of happiness, love and fun, for the more than half a million children experiencing abuse a year, it can also be an incredibly lonely and frightening time. With schools closing their doors and children having reduced contact with wider support networks over the festive season, the charity knows that there will be many vulnerable children at home facing increased risks. For those children and young people for whom Christmas means abuse, Childline is a lifeline. December last year was the second highest month in the year for children from across the UK reaching out for support on emotional abuse. In its new TV advert, the NSPCC highlights that Childline advisors answer a call every 45 seconds and that for these children, Christmas can be the worst time of year. The ad is inspired by real calls from the children to the NSPCC's Childline service, which is open for children every day, including Christmas Day. In the advert, a girl named Cara sat outside on a park bench in the dark speaking to a Childline counsellor over the phone. Sean Friel, Childline director, said, "Although Christmas should be a time of happiness and fun for all children, at Childline we know that sadly this is not the case and that, for many, it is a time full of fear, isolation and increased risks. For lots of children, Childline is the only place they can turn to for help when they are trapped behind closed doors feeling scared and alone. In the run-up to this festive season, it is essential that the service continues to be here as a lifeline for those children who are in desperate need of support from our trained counsellors and those in immediate danger. To enable the charity to be here for all children this Christmas, visit the NSPCC website to donate. Just £4 could help a counsellor answer a call this festive season. The Childline service is here for children every day, even on Christmas Day. Children can contact Childline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. When a child needs help and Christmas means abuse, Childline is a lifeline and it is vital that our counsellors are here and ready to listen and support children across the UK. Children can contact Childline on 0800 1111 or childline.org.uk. That's childline.org.uk. Between April 1st, 2022 and March 31st this year, Childline delivered 14,080 counselling sessions to children in the UK where the child's main concerns were abuse or neglect. This week, Wednesday the 29th of November 2023, from the Kirkintilloch and Bishop Briggs Herald, letters page, let's talk. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk. That's kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. This is not good enough from Labour, sir. In September 2021, Anna Sarwar announced Scottish Labour's Energy Transition Commission to be chaired by highly respected former UK Energy Minister Brian Wilson. 2 years on, a period when Mr Sarwar has been at odds with Sir Keir Starmer's policy of shadowing the Conservative approach to energy, nothing about policy, meetings or consultations has been added to the Commission's one-page website. Sir Keir finally visited Aberdeen the other week, announcing his £2.5 billion plan for a secure energy transition. But there was little detail and no Brian Wilson, so possibly the whole thing is destined for what's left of the Labour long grass, along with other issues. For a party that Scotland needs to in order to wipe the SNP/Greens off the electoral map, this is just not good enough. Yours, etc., Alan Sutherland, by email. Profit is first, refinery is second. Sir, the real reason for the intended Grangemouth refinery closure is the same as the reason for the huge increase in energy costs in the UK leading to very high inflation and the subsequent reduced value of wages and increased poverty. That reason is the privatisation of our oil and gas resources and industries by UK governments. The private oil and gas companies have no obligation to provide oil and gas to the UK. So even though we have these resources in our territorial waters, we had to compete for oil and gas supplies in the world market, and prices increased highly due to the Ukraine-Russia war. Grangemouth is shutting down processing because the private company's priority is maximising profit. If processing can be carried out cheaper elsewhere, the company will stop processing here. Any damage to the workforce and the surrounding area, or the effects on Scotland and its economy, are not the company's priority. As the Grangemouth processing plant and the workforce are of no value to them, why not take it into public ownership? Its existing function could continue, with carbon capture in the Acorn project. That part of the Grangemouth plant proposed to handle imports would no longer have value to the current owners. The oil refining in public ownership could gradually be reduced until no longer required and replaced by green energy produced in Scotland. Avoiding profiteering privatisation of that green energy and keeping it in public ownership should make the just transition easier. Yours, etc., Jim Stamper, address supplied. We wouldn't be where we are now, sir. One of my final duties before I retired in 2006 as HR Director of an acute hospitals trust was to submit a manpower plan as requested by the then Scottish Executive. The future implications of the Scottish population profile were obvious to all and well recognised by the Trust and Health Board executives. The think tank Our Scottish Future told us recently that in the past decade, the Scottish Government has produced 529 strategies, or plans, of which 130 are in health and social care. It is as if the Scottish Government thinks its purpose is to generate strategies, but to do nothing about implementing any of them. That today's Health Board executives are complaining about the problems of dealing with an ageing population shows that the Scottish Government has failed in its duties. Adequate numbers of qualified staff are what is needed, not knee-jerk announcements about how many millions are to be spent to help health boards tackle the problem. But it takes time, many years in some instances, to train the necessary staff. If 20 years ago the Scottish Government had started to increase and fund medical and other healthcare professional training places and staffing establishments, we would not be where we are now. Yours, etc., Hamish Johnson, by email. Green dogma. Sir, the similarities between Mrs. Thatcher's supposed cold-blooded devastation of industrial Scotland in the 1980s and the present much bigger destruction of our thriving oil and gas sector by the SNP/Greens is startling. Clearly, the current Holyrood administration is more interested in satisfying the fantasy dogma of green extremists that protecting an industry that would keep us safe and warm while new and sustainable methods of doing so are found and developed. Yours, etc., Alexander Mackay, by email. Reader's Charter. This newspaper is built in a tradition of accuracy and fairness, giving you the information you need to understand our world, holding power to account and exposing injustice. Our trusted brand means we are the only place where you can read and participate in honest debates. We are committed to giving a voice to those who struggle to be heard, as well as those whose profession is crafting an argument. Our Reader's Charter spells out our commitment to you. You can read the charter online at kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk. That's kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk.
For too many, the tech is out of reach. A new report by Diabetes Scotland into the state of diabetes technology in Scotland has revealed that access to vital medical equipment is low. There are also large disparities between levels of access in different health boards, with people from the poorest areas struggling most to access services. The Diabetes Tech Can't Wait report said inconsistent access across the country is having a hugely damaging impact on the well-being of thousands of people living with diabetes. Data in the report shows that in March 2023, of the 35,675 people living with type 1 diabetes in Scotland, only 17.7% were using an insulin pump and 8.3% were using continuous glucose monitors. Diabetes Scotland is concerned that Scottish Government action to roll out diabetes technology across Scotland is not resulting in fair and equal access to diabetes technology, and that too many people are missing out. A complex condition, diabetes leaves your blood sugar level too high because the pancreas is unable to produce enough insulin, or the insulin it produces doesn't work properly or doesn't produce any insulin at all. Everyone with type 1 diabetes has to take insulin to live, with most people traditionally requiring a regimen of multiple daily insulin injections, finger prick testing, and carbohydrate counting. It is relentless. But diabetes technology is changing this, from insulin pumps and continuous glucose monitors to hybrid closed-loop systems. Technology is catalysing a revolution in diabetes care. It has been shown to improve blood sugar management and reduce the risk of complications like stroke, eye damage, and kidney disease. It can also provide mental health and quality of life. It also improve mental health and quality of life, both for people living with diabetes and their families, and it's cost effective, justified by the clinical benefits it provides. However, the report highlights low numbers of people using technology and large disparities between levels of access in different health board areas. Diabetes Scotland is calling for national targets to be set to drive forward progress, aiming for 100% of children and 70% of adults with type 1 diabetes to be using hybrid closed technology by 2030. John Kinnear, the charity's national director, said, "The Scottish Government has taken some important steps to support the rollout of diabetes technology, but the number of people with type 1 diabetes using technology is too low, and for too many people across Scotland, it simply isn't available. Accessing the healthcare you need shouldn't be a struggle, yet we've heard from countless people who are having to fight to access diabetes tech. This means people who don't have the resources to research and make a case for themselves end up being left behind, which only makes inequalities worse. We know health boards are seeing huge increases in demand for tech and that many clinicians want to support people. However, right now, health boards simply don't have the capacity to make this a reality for everyone who needs it. We've seen cross-party support for diabetes tech, but now we need to see action." Children are gifted 250,000 new books. Children across Scotland will be gifted 250,000 books and counting activities as part of the Read, Write, Count with the First Minister programme. Around 248,000 books will be given to pupils in primary 2 and 3 this year as part of a programme underlining the First Minister's personal commitment to supporting child literacy and numeracy. Read, Write, Count with the First Minister aims to build parents' confidence and encourage families to include easy and fun reading, writing and counting activities in their everyday lives. The programme received Scottish Government funding of £932,132 for 2023-24. First Minister Hamza Yousaf said, "I want to encourage all children to enjoy reading, writing and counting. Reading for pleasure is crucial in developing children's literacy skills, and our funded national programmes are about supporting and enhancing a love of reading from an early age. When I was young, my favourite books were the ones that were fun and that taught me something new. A good story or a good book can open new worlds to us. Reading can even help us if we feel sad or if we're unsure about something and want to learn more about it." The news was welcomed by Mark Lambert, Scottish Book Trust Chief Executive. He said, "Gifting books to children through the Book Bug and Read Write Count with First Minister programmes is one of the highlights of Book Week Scotland each year. For many children in Scotland, the only books they have at home are the ones they are given by Scottish Book Trust."
Give children loving homes they need. The country's leading children's charity is today encouraging people who are interested in providing a stable, loving, nurturing home to consider applying to be prospective parents. It comes as Barnardo Scotland's adoption service recently reached a milestone of its 100th child moving to a new family. Anne White, Assistant Head of Business for Family Placement Scotland at Barnardo's, said, "In line with the promise, the Barnardo Scotland Adoption Service believes that all children deserve a loving family, especially those who have been waiting the longest, including siblings, older children, those from black and minority ethnic backgrounds, and children with complex needs. We are looking for families to make a positive difference to these young lives. Barnardo Scotland's Adoption Service supports families so that children live in permanent, loving, nurturing homes. The Barnardo Service was inspected by the Care Inspectorate in Scotland and recently received a very good grading, which is a fantastic achievement and evidence of the dedication, skill and commitment from the team. Barnardo Scotland supports children, young people and their families in more than 125 specialised community-based services across the country. The charity works with children, young people, parents, carers, communities to ensure that every child has the best possible start in life. To donate, volunteer or fundraise, visit www.barnardos.org.uk/get-involved/raise-money. And to find out more about adopting, visit www.barnardos.org.uk/adopt. Double the love for Mary's Meals. TV stars and siblings Scarlett and Stuart Douglas are encouraging people across Scotland to support Mary's Meals' new appeal, Double the Love. From now until January the 22nd, all donations made to Mary's Meals will be doubled by a group of generous supporters, up to a total of £1 million. Funds raised will help to provide nutritious school meals for children in some of the world's poorest countries, including Malawi, Haiti and South Sudan. Scarlett and Stuart are celebrating the launch of the campaign, which is a cause close to their hearts. Mary's Meals was founded in a shed in Argyll, currently feeds more than 2.4 million hungry children every school day. The promise of a meal attracts these children into the classroom instead of working or looking for food, and they have the energy to learn. Scarlett, a campmate on the 2022 series of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, said, "Stuart and I are so impressed by the incredible work of Mary's Meals. To serve a daily school meal to 2.4 million children is an amazing feat, and it is the fact that Mary's Meals can feed a child for a whole school year for just £19.15. With Double the Love, £19.15 will feed two children for a school year, so there's never a better time to donate." Stuart, who hosts Channel 4's Worst House on the Street with Scarlett, added, "I have four children, so Mary's Meals work resonates with me. No child should go hungry. Double the Love gives everyone who donates the opportunity to have their kindness reach even more hungry children. Mart Barlow, Executive Director of Mary Meals, added, Mary Meals is built on so many little acts of kindness, from volunteers who rise with the sun to cook and serve Mary's meals to their children, and to those people here in Scotland who support our work. By donating to Mary's Meals this winter, your kindness can go even further in helping us to reach the next hungry child waiting for our nutritious school meals. To show your support for the campaign, visit www.marysmeals.org.uk/campaigns/double the love.
Pay boost for those on living wage. The national living wage will increase by over £1 an hour from April. The almost 10% pay boost from £10.42 to £11.44 an hour is the biggest cash increase in the national living wage in more than a decade and fulfills the government's manifesto pledge to end low pay for those on the national living wage. Eligibility for the national living wage will also be extended by reducing the age threshold to 21-year-olds for the first time. A 21-year-old will get 12.4% increase from £10.18 this year to £11.44 next year, worth almost £2,300 a year for a full-time worker. Minimum wage rates for younger workers will also increase. 18 to 20-year-olds will get paid £8.60 an hour, a £1.11 hourly pay bump. The Department for Business and Trade estimates 2.7 million workers will directly benefit from the 2024 National Living Wage increase. District News. Send your emails to kirkyherald@gnscotland.co.uk. That's kirkyherald@gnscotland.co.uk. Churches. St James Church, Hilton Road, Bishopbriggs. Rector Reverend Canon Paul Watson, 0141 230 4080. There is a communion service on Thursday, November the 30th at 11 a.m. and on Sunday, December the 3rd at 9 a.m. in the chapel and at 10:30 a.m. in the church with hymns. Everyone is welcome to come along to any of these services. Do stay on for tea and coffee and fellowship afterwards. On Sunday, December the 3rd, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m, there is a session of Crafty Kids in the church hall. All families are very welcome to come along and enjoy activities together. There are also virtual services in groups. For up-to-date and further information, refer to our social media. Facebook, St. James the Less Bishopbriggs. Website, www.stjamesbishopbriggs.org.uk. Springfield Cambridge Church. Morning worship on Sunday, December the 3rd will be conducted by Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by our Assistant Minister, Mrs. Julie Harty, in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. The Sunday School will meet in Room 2. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cameron Hall after morning worship. Come along and enjoy the fellowship. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering plates in the Hall of Fellowship as you enter or leave the building. Morning worship has also been live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk. That's www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk. And Facebook page, where up-to-date information about events and church organisations can also be found. There will be a vestry hour on Wednesday, November the 29th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for anyone who would like to speak with the minister. There will be a short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel on Wednesday, November the 29th from 11:10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. followed by tea and coffee in the Hall of Fellowship. On Sunday, December the 3rd, 10th and 17th, The fundraising group will be offering tickets at donation price of £2 for their festive hamper. The City of Glasgow Wind Orchestra are holding their annual Christmas concert in the Sanctuary on Friday, December the 8th at 7:30pm. Tickets at the door £10/£6. On Sunday, December the 10th, Jars of Grace, or donations, will be collected for our annual appeal for UNICEF. On Sunday, December the 10th, Tesco gift cards for £5 or £10 can be donated for our annual Gift Sunday. These will be passed on to the local food bank at Colston Well Park or St Rollox for their work with asylum seekers. At 6pm on Sunday, December the 10th, Eastern Bartonshire School Strings Orchestra returned for their annual concert. Entry is free, but donations can be made. Light festive refreshments will be served afterwards. Colston Well Park Church. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Why not come to Colston Well Park Church this Sunday? Service led by Malcolm Cuthbertson. And after, feel free to join us for tea or coffee in the hall. On Monday, the art club continues from 10am to 1pm and, once again, you are very welcome to join us if interested. Phone Ramsay on 07709 584 680 for more information. The Colston Tea Break, or community drop-in, is on this Wednesday from 11am till 12:30pm, and all are welcome to join us for good food, good chat and good company, and it's free. The food bank continues its essential work within the community and is open every Friday from 11am to 1pm and 2pm to 4pm. Sincere thanks to all who assist in this worthwhile work. St Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday, December the 3rd will be taken by the Reverend Dr. Ruth Morrison, as usual, and begin at 11am. Age-related activities will be available in the halls for our young people. On Wednesday, December the 6th, our monthly Open Doors Day will take place. On this Wednesday, there will be Christmas music and a song provided by Sally McLellan and John Thompson, beginning at 1:15pm. This will be followed by entertainment from Lairsland Primary School Choir. Tea and coffee will be provided, and you're welcome to bring your own lunch. This Sunday is the last Sunday for bringing in Christmas cards to be delivered by the church. Cards can also be handed in to Stuart Walker newsagent until 1pm on Sunday, December the 3rd. Cost is 30p per card. It is also the last chance to get your ticket for the Advent lunch being held after the service on Sunday, December the 10th. Cost £15 for 3 courses. Kenmure Parish Church. This Thursday is St Andrew's Day, and we will be celebrating it in the church starting at 6:30pm. A special guest will be Gabriel, founder of the Lawerno Community Project in Uganda. This Sunday marks the first Sunday in Advent, and our Assistant Minister, Reverend Kay Gardner, will lead our worship from 11am. You are welcome to join us both in church and on our YouTube channel. The service on YouTube can be watched live as it is streamed or later at a time that suits you. You can find our channel by simply searching for Kenmure Bishop Briggs on YouTube. Teas and coffees and a time of fellowship follows the end of this church service. Details of all of our groups that are currently running may be found on our website, kenmure-church.co.uk. That's kenmure-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kenmure Parish Church. If you would like to join our WhatsApp group or receive the Bible studies from ABC, then email us at kenmurechurch@icloud.com. Lindsay Old Parish Church. Sunday worship begins in the church at 11am. A creche is available. The Quilt and Craft Group meet every Wednesday 10am till 12 noon in the session room. Ideal for beginners or those with more experience. Thursday Afternoon Club is on December the 7th, 2pm to 4pm. Enjoy tea and coffee and home baking, followed by a game of Scrabble, Dominoes, Roomie Club or Uno. Or you can sit back and chat and or do your knitting. Scottish Country Dancing every Thursday, 7:30pm to 9:30pm in the Church Hall. Come along for fun, fitness and friendship. all welcome. Time Out Carol Party is on Monday, December the 11th at 7:30 p.m. in the Church Hall. Proceeds to Marie Curie. Tickets £5. All welcome. Home Church Scotland. Lammermoor Road, Kirkintilloch, G66 2AB. Home Church Kirkintilloch. Home Church East End, Carmyle, G32 8DP. And online. A church for all ages. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Luke chapter 21, verse 33. December the 3rd, 10 a.m. Prayer meeting followed by refreshments 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Worship service, including communion, children's church and creche, followed by refreshments. A warm welcome awaits you. Home Church Carmyle, 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Minibus leaves Home Church at 5:45 p.m. for the evening service. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Bible studies and discussion groups in person and on Zoom. Wednesdays, Mothers and Babies, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Home groups, 7:15 p.m. at Kirkintilloch and Carmyle Fridays. Craft and Coffee, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Open to the community. Youth Fellowship, 7:30 to 9 p.m. A varied programme. Home radio available every day. Saturday, December the 2nd, carol singing in Kirkintilloch Town Centre led by Home Church, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. See Facebook, Instagram and Home Church website for the latest information. Kirkintilloch Male Voice Choir, Saturday, December the 2nd, 2:30 p.m. St. Mary's Parish Church, the choir entertain with their special brand of Christmas music. Tickets £6 from www.datathistle.com. That's www.datathistle.com. Lindsay Union Parish Church. Worship on Sunday, December the 3rd is at 11 a.m. led by the Reverend Dan Carmichael. There is tea and coffee in the new hall after the service. Young people are also welcome to Lighthouse and Bible class. A live stream of the service is available on YouTube via our website. The meeting place opens for tea and coffee and home baking every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon in the new hall. Everyone, from the very young to the young at heart, is welcome to attend, and we also have a good selection of greetings cards and fair trade goods. Love Lego? Join others to create a Lindsay Lego Village with lights in Lindsay Union New Hall, Saturday, December the 2nd, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Children, please bring an adult too. Silver Movers, Monday, December the 4th, 1:30 p.m. Old Hall. Gentle movement to music is good for both the body and the brain, and for seniors is highly beneficial. Sherry Carnegie, dance instructor, is going to lead us. Please bring a bottle of water if needed. Messy Church on Saturday, December the 9th, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. A fun-filled hour for all the family. Cater Parish Church. Cater Parish Church, beside the canal. For full details, please see our website, www.caderchurch.org. That's www.caderchurch.org. We look forward to welcoming you this coming Sunday to our morning service. The service will be led by Reverend John McGregor, Probationer Minister Chris Gordon, and Javier Jose Osendo Malo, MMUS. All are welcome. Tea and coffee served after both services. Food bank. If you wish to donate to the local food bank, you can bring your donations of food to the church or the coffee shop. Early fellowship. Meets in person in the South Hall Chapel at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday, and also on Zoom. For further details, contact the minister. Our coffee shop is open Tuesday to Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The Girls' St. Andrew's Night is on Thursday, November the 30th in the South Halls at 7pm, when they will be welcoming members of Springfield, Cambridge and Kim Muir Guilds. Entertainment from Ewan Russell and Diane Kurth. The next Winter Warmth is next Friday, December the 1st, at 1:30pm in the South Hall. All are welcome. Labyrinth, Chapel in the South Hall. Chris is a probationer minister, is planning to run an Advent Labyrinth prayer station from Tuesday, December the 5th to Thursday, December the 7th from 10:30am to 2pm and 10am to 12 noon on Friday, December the 8th. Please consider making time to visit and reflect on how God moves in our lives. Film night on Friday, December the 8th, 7pm for 7:30pm in Cadder North Hall. The film is Christmas with Tucker, and tickets are £5 for members of the fellowship group. Gift service on Sunday, December the 10th. This year, we are supporting two charities, Women's Aid with Pyjamas for the children, and Daisy Chain with Sensory Toys for their children. Janet Johnson has details of both types of donations. 92nd Glasgow Company, the Girls Brigade. Tuesdays, Explorers, P1 to P3, 6:15pm to 7:30pm. Juniors, P4 to P7, 6:30pm to 8pm. Brigaders, S1 to S6, 7:30pm to 9pm. 212 Boys Brigade Anchor Boys, P1 to 3, Monday 6pm to 7pm. Junior Section, P4 to 6, Monday 7:15pm to 8:30pm. Company/Senior Section, P7 to S6, Friday 7pm to 9pm. Community Carol Singing. Campsie Parish and St Machan's Churches in Lennoxtown are holding a community carol singing event on Saturday, December the 16th at 3pm in St Machan's car park, to which everyone is invited. Come along, join the singing and enjoy hot chocolate, a little treat and a special Christmas visitor. In inclement weather, we'll all pack into St Machan's Church. Wednesday the 29th of November, District News General. A very memorable Poppy Week. Kirkintilloch Rotary Club, assisted by the Kirkintilloch Inner Wheel, set out to collect for the Scottish Poppy Appeal in a 5-day event at Sainsbury's Kirkintilloch. The teams of collectors engaged with many generous members of the public, including ex-servicemen and families of those serving in the military forces, as well as many youngsters with children eager to wear their poppies of remembrance. Kirkintilloch Rotary are delighted to report that the collection this year reached an outstanding £2,744.16 that will go to provide life-changing support to our Armed Forces community in Scotland. For more details about the Rotary, visit www.rotary-ribi.org. That's, for more details about the Rotary, visit www.rotary-ribi.org. Campsie Winterfest live and free. There will be free art, music and story writing workshops in Milton of Campsie Village Hall on Saturday, December the 9th to Sunday, December the 10th. The art exhibition is open on both days from 12:30pm to 6:30pm, showing 60 paintings by local artists, with most for sale. There will be live music at the opening from 1pm to 3pm on December the 9th. Relax with a coffee and cake and listen to Campsie Scottish folk players and St Vincent Baroque soloist with Eddie Maguire on flute and Goetz Buehler on cello. On Sunday, there's a story writing workshop with Claire Miller. Festival ends with a classical chamber music concert by Mulgai Strings, 7pm. Full details, www.campsiefest.org.uk. That's www.campsiefest.org.uk. German air crash at Lennoxtown. A talk by local historians and researchers, Al Fleming and Linda McIntosh, the 1941 German air crash at Lennoxtown, May 7, 1941. On May 7, 1941, a Luftwaffe Junkers Ju-88 aircraft was shot down by a Bolton Paul Defiant night fighter. The bomber crashed on Blairskaith Muir between Balmore and Lennoxtown, with two of the four-man crew being killed and subsequently buried in Lennoxtown's Campsie Cemetery. The talk will unveil a story of tragedy, murder, and the chilling spectre of mass execution. Yet, amidst the shadows of war, the account illuminates a family's remarkable journey of discovery that traverses continents, leading to an unlikely alliance with Germany and to an inspiring, unexpected and heartwarming friendship. Hosted by Kirkintilloch and District Society of Antiquaries on Thursday, December the 7th at the Park Centre, 45 Kerr Street, Kirkintilloch, G66, 1LF, 7:30 PM. Visitors are welcome, free of charge. Holyrood View, Scottish Greens, For People, For Planet, by Ross Greer, MSP. As we hit the halfway point of the Scottish Parliament's sixth session, the Scottish Greens came together in Dunfermline for our annual autumn conference. Just over 2 years after joining the Scottish Government, the importance of having green voices in the room and delivering green policies across the country has never been more important. Green ideas have never been more popular, nor more urgent, and never better aligned with the greatest challenges facing Scotland and our communities. We have already seen the positive impact of green policies such as free bus travel for under 22s and the removal of peak time rail fares, protecting Scotland's natural environment and wildlife through a nature restoration fund worth up to £65 million, lifting 90,000 children out of poverty through an increase in the Scottish Child Payment, and so much more. The fight for climate and social justice is more important than ever. That's why, at our conference, the Scottish Greens announced how our government is going further and faster to build a greener and fairer country. In her opening remarks, our co-leader, Lorna Slater, MSP, announced ambitious targets to grow Scotland's solar power energy to 10 times its current size. This is exactly the certainty the industry needed to secure investment, will lead to thousands of jobs, and speed up our transition away from fossil fuels like oil and gas. Lorna also announced that we will progress a new carbon emissions land tax, which councils will levy against big landowners who haven't taken the action required to reduce the climate impact of their estates through measures like peatland restoration. The Scottish Government has the responsibility to do all we can to help protect those who seek asylum and who suffer as a result of the UK Government's cruel policies, which include banning them from working and from accessing the social security payments which anyone else out of work is entitled to. For that reason, our other co-leader, Patrick Harvey, MSP, announced that Scottish Greens have secured £2 million of government funding to enable the rollout of free bus travel to asylum seekers in Scotland. This scheme will be a boost for a vulnerable group, often totally isolated due to unaffordable travel. Scottish Greens, we are proud to take action to build a greener, fairer Scotland. That was a Holyrood View by Ross Greer, MSP. Sport. Top awards for Glasgow. The great and the good of women's football in Scotland were celebrated on Sunday night in a glittering award ceremony at the home of football, Hampden Park. Hosted by former news anchor and BBC presenter Catriona Shearer, the Scottish Power Scottish Women's Football Awards recognised, amongst others, the success of Glasgow City's dramatic title win, Edinburgh City's unbeaten League One campaign, and Bucky Ladies League and Cup double in the Scottish Power Highlands and Islands League. In her address, SWF Chair Vivian McLaren described 2023 as a landmark year for women and girls football, both internationally and in Scotland. Women's football has fantastic role models and creates a unique matchday experience, and that's why what we are celebrating tonight. These awards celebrate the commitment, passion and achievement at every level of the game we all love, including those who can often be overlooked, the work that goes on to keep clubs going, the women who juggle football with work, life and caring responsibilities. the volunteers who provide opportunities for young women to play. Glasgow City's Leanne Ross was named the SWF's SWPL Coach of the Year, with the club's striker Lauren Davison SWPL 1 Player of the Year, while City goalkeeper Lee Gibson was named the Scottish Power International Player of the Year for her exploits with Scotland. In fact, goalkeepers were well represented on the night, with Heart of Midlothian keeper Charlotte Parker-Smith winning the Cat Linder Award for Athletic and Academic Achievement, and Bucky Ladies keeper Sophia Golubiewski named MGA Alba Highlands and Islands Player of the Year. Bucky also picked up the Sunday Post Volunteer of the Year for Laura Duncan for everything she does at the club. Successful promotion campaigns were recognised for Bonnyrigg Rose coach Jamie Carter, who was named Avia Sines SWFL Coach of the Year, and Queen of the South captain Charlotte Smith, who picked up the SWFL Player of the Year, sponsored by Arran, Sense of Scotland. SWF's SWPL2 Player of the Year was named as Louise Brown of Montrose. Edinburgh City's unbeaten League One campaign saw former manager Andy Enwood pick up the RJM Championship and League One Coach of the Year, and former talisman Deborah McLeod named LNER League One Player of the Year. Ayr United's Claire Cradockety picked up LNER Championship Player of the Year. Hearts' treble-winning 16s NAP team picked up SHAAP Youth Team of the Year. Musselburgh Windsor's Samantha Windrum was Youth Coach of the Year. And the Sports Scotland Youth Player of the Year was Niamh McCulloch of Hamilton. In the new category of Scottish Power Sustainable Club of the Year, Dundee Club Dryburgh Athletic were recognised. Despite operating in a fiercely competitive environment in Dundee, Dryburgh Athletic have maintained a robust pathway and used social media well to make players and sponsors alike feel valued, said Catriona Shearer. Finally, Scotland captain Rachel Corsi picked up the Val McDermott Award for the Spirit of SWF, which recognises outstanding contributions in challenging inequality, pushing boundaries and promoting the women's game, sometimes against the odds. In a video accepting the award, Corsi said, "Football has offered me so many opportunities, it's given me so much back, but something I've learned as I've got older is to make sure you leave the game in a better place. That's something over the last few years I've really tried to do. To be recognised in this way is something that truly does mean a lot to me." New CEO for Netball Scotland. Netball Scotland has appointed Ken Hay as its Interim Chief Executive Officer for 12 months. An experienced leader with a rich and varied career leading people, organisations and sectors through challenge and change, Ken's expertise is particularly pertinent as Netball Scotland aims to forge a strong path forward in a rapidly evolving sports environment. Chairwoman of Netball Scotland Lucy Faulkner said, "Ken brings exactly the kind of strategic vision and operational excellence that Netball Scotland requires at this pivotal moment. His leadership is set to propel us towards achieving our ambitious objectives and enhancing our impact both on and off the court." Ken said he was honoured to take the role. He added, "I am passionate about sport and the transformative impact it has for individuals and communities across the country. It's a time of great potential for netball as a sport and this organisation, and I look forward to applying my experience in strategic development and change management in driving forward our mission." Ken previously helped turn around the fortunes of Edinburgh International Film Festival and Filmhouse Cinemas up to the onset of the pandemic. He was Accountable Officer of Scottish Screen managing the transition to the establishment of Creative Scotland in 2010 and chaired sector bodies, Festivals Edinburgh and Culture Counts. His appointment is immediate.
That concludes this week's edition of the Crichton Hill Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Tune Review and to tell your friends about our service.